Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is a partly sunny day out here in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm sure I'll get the weather report from Naima Latif and Laura Lorman this morning because they're in Chicago. Very interesting. We had snow in Georgia. We left Illinois to get away from the snow, just saying, and we got in here anyway. Sometimes you just, you know, what you resist persists, I'm just going to say. So there's always a lesson. So today I have a very good friend of mine on the show. Her name is Laura Lorman, and she is quite the specialist. I call her Dr. Laura sometimes. When she came over to my house when I was living in Grays Lake, I called her doctor because she's brilliant and how the body works. And Laura and I have been on a journey. And, let me back up. So Laura does muscle activation technique, which I will let her explain what that means. And she also does cranial sacral therapy. And we've been on a journey together and helping each other, right, with our health concerns. Just because we're healers doesn't mean we're always healthy. It just means that we are looking at the ways to heal so we can help you. But her dad got sick, and it was quite a learning for both of us. And so we're going to talk today about why Laura chose the path that she chose for muscle activation technique. We're going to talk about her father's journey. He's really doing well, and we're so proud. George, if you're listening, two thumbs up, man. And we're going to talk about how spirit works in such alignment with science. Not all science, but this science. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Laura Lorman, and I'm going to bring on our executive producer, Naima Latif. So.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning it is, yeah.
Welcome, welcome. So, science meets spirit. What can we web at you?
I love it.
So, before we
don't have sunshine here yet this morning, by the way, because it's still dark.
Oh.
The sun is just now emerging, and it is cold. It's been cold for the last several days. So, yeah, you did good to get away.
Andrew made a snowman the other day. I'm not – so I don't know what we got away from. Maybe an extra 10 degrees.
Though. It's probably not as cold. It's 23 degrees right now.
So we had 30.
Yeah, we're
a little colder.
Like – it's 7 degrees
no, it's
colder, I'm just saying.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
This is such an exciting, this is, you know, whenever I end a show, I go, oh, this is my best show, right?
That's good. Each one's the best one.
Each one's the best one. So first, you know, Laura, are you still a professional athlete or...
No, I mean, I still do a lot of, I still participate in a lot of sports. I still snowboard and I don't wakeboard anymore, but I wake surf and I water ski for a show ski team up in Wisconsin, and I golf. So I like to stay very active. And like my goal has always been to be able to keep myself doing the things I love. So that's kind of, you know, that's how I got into the passion of what I do for work as well.
So tell us, first of all, I would like a little background because Andrew always remembers exactly because it's so above my head. It's like, phew. Kind of like how you are on the board, I think. Phew. Share with people, I mean, because it's X Games, right? Like,
So I was in the 2005 X Games. So I wakeboarded professionally for 8 years competing. We had a pro circuit. So I traveled all around the country. I've been out of the country a couple times to compete as well. I've been to, I was in France and Australia to compete. So I've had some, you know, out of the country travel as well. I actually show skied before I got into wakeboarding. I show skied in Germany in a ski show over there. So I've been water skiing and on the water all my life. I grew up on a lake up in Wisconsin. And
so you're kind of, part fish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Just double check.
Exactly. But so I grew up. I was raised on a lake up in Wisconsin. Got into water skiing when I was young. Started show skiing on a local show ski team that was on the lake, and it was a blast. It was a family affair, so my whole family was involved. My dad was a boat driver, and actually he's back boat driving again for the team that I'm back on, so that's been fun. So I started, that's kind of really how I got into, you know, more just than just the recreational skiing. When I turned 18, my summer job in between going to college was I skied at Marine World out in California. So that was kind of like a SeaWorld show. Marine World was just a separate place out in Vallejo, California.
Damn,
so I showed skied there. And then when I graduated,
I'm going to pull up your Facebook page to show you game pictures. That's so cool. All right. So keep going.
So I did some show skiing. When I graduated from college, I didn't want to get a real job. So then I decided that I was going to pursue professional wakeboarding. So I found a coach, started working with him, and started competing. And it just was kind of a journey through there. It was a blast, had a ton of fun, but it does beat your body up a little bit.
I'm going to show people how it beats up the body. Okay.
Okay.
give me a minute here. So check it out, peeps. Score.
Wow. So that's surfing. So that's wake surfing. That's a little easier on the body than the wakeboarding. But the wakeboarding, a lot of aerial tricks. So you catching edges and falling and whiplash. Like whenever I've gone to get therapy, they're like, have you ever? I'm like, the answer is probably yes. Assume yes. Probably.
Can you explain the difference for those who are water ignorant? Can you explain the difference between wakeboarding and surfing?
Yes. So wakeboarding, you're actually attached to the board and you're being towed by a boat. So you've got your feet, you're still standing. So your feet are in the bindings. Think like snowboarding. A lot of people know what snowboarding is.
Not me either.
So it's a similar.
Naima and I are both in the second grade right now.
It's all good. So you're standing on the board and your feet are in bindings hooked in. And then the boat makes a wake, which is like a ramp, and you use that wake to do aerial tricks and flip and spin and get all crazy. So, yeah.
So that's wakeboarding, what we're looking at right here.
What you're looking at right there is wake surfing.
So
you're still behind the boat, but you're pretty much just without, you get up with a rope and then you can let go and you can actually surf the wave.
Oh, okay.
Behind the boat. So your feet aren't attached, but you're riding like a regular surfboard. It's a smaller surfboard than you would on the ocean, but it's like it's shaped like a surfboard, a smaller surfboard. And then you can actually ride the wave without the rope.
And
ton
so
of
your
fun
feet
also.
Are hooked in there? Is that what you're saying in that picture?
No, in this picture, no.
You're not.
My feet are not hooked in.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, whoa. Hold on. So your feet are not hooked in there?
Correct.
Wait, I want everybody to get a close up on this. So took us all out. Damn.
Yeah, the board's out of the water there, but yeah, my feet are not hooked on.
Okay.
All right.
Looks like fun.
Wow. Okay, crap. Okay, so we'll let it. We'll get the people back in. So. That's crazy.
A lot of fun. So the wakeboarding, you have a tendency to, when you're learning tricks, and even, every once in a while when you make a little bit of a mistake, you can easily catch an edge of the board, which can then slap you into the water, which can sometimes feel like concrete. So, water's not always that soft. So it's much fun as it was. That's wakeboarding. So what you're seeing there is actually wakeboarding, but I'm wakeboarding with my niece. So that's my niece that I'm on the water with. I'll still do stuff like that. I'll take my nieces and nephews out, but I don't get all crazy and do flips. So,
wow.
Yes. So,
she's doing it too.
Oh, she's a little river. Yeah, she's awesome.
Wow.
So it's kind of a family thing. Like all of my nieces and nephews, they do some kind of water sport. So they all either water ski or wakeboard or surf. Because that's why I got into the skiing a few years back, is because my sister's kids actually joined the water ski team. And she's like, come ski with us again. And I was like, no. And then the next thing you know, I'm skiing. And then I was show director of the team. So,
cool.
Fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So kind of a passion of mine. I love the water. I absolutely love the water. So it's a great place to be. So
So, and I'm pulling up some other photos here, so I keep on pulling in and out. You can tell us which one of the girls are, which girl is you here. because, you know, I think it's important. I mean, here's the thing. Laura still, you know, Laura got into muscle activation technique, and cranial sacral therapy, you know, because she needed to help her own body. And look what she was doing, guys.
I mean, okay, so where am I at? Oh, this is me right here.
Which one? Right, left?
Right. If you're looking at the screen, I'm the fourth girl from the right side.
Fourth from the right. Okay.
Yeah, your leg is up, I think.
Yeah, all of your legs are up.
Here, my leg is up.
Yeah, everybody's holding
the rope. Oh, yeah, I see that, too. I got that.
So everybody's holding the rope with their ankle.
Oh, I see. So the rope you're holding, like with on a bar.
Yep. So our arms are free. Yep.
With the ankle.
Yep.
Oh. Okay. Water rocket.
Yep, basically. That's exactly what we were.
we've got some comments here. Andrew's so funny. She's surfer chick. Naima, your face got covered up. Sorry, honey. and then we've got Vieta, Grand Rising, Beautiful Queens, love the photos. Yeah, Vieta, is this not so cool?
She's a water person, too.
Yeah. So, like, to me, like, I'm standing out on the sidelines here, you know?
Like, we need the cheerleaders, too. I mean,
I'll be your cheerleader, for
sure.
Hey,
you'd be great behind the mic. That's what, my sister water skis, too, but she actually was announcing for the team, and she's phenomenal at it, so.
She was unbelievable, right?
So because you have announcers for the show.
Okay.
Yep.
We're all there. So here you are. You're doing all this stuff. What happens to your body? Because I want people to see the level. And the reason I'm showing all this, I'm going to remove it now. But the reason I was showing all these pictures, not only because it's so exciting, right? And you hear Faye go in the background. She wants to come up. So.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. You know, she's going to keep hollering until you bring her on screen. You know?
Yeah, I know. Andrew's on it. He's working it. So, she's so excited. She's quivering, Andrew says. Oh, she is. Okay. Shazishi Laura.
Hi, Big Love.
Hi, Angie Naima.
Hi.
She's like, I just got to be in the show.
Always, right? Center of attention.
Mm-hmm. Like her sister Laura, they're saying on that ski. So, you know, but here's the thing. The reason, just hold on. You'll be your turn in a minute, okay? Please? Thank you. The reason, okay, so what is it to you? First, so we're just going to talk to her first. So she wants to say hello to you, Laura, and hello to you, Naima.
Hey,
she's so excited that you're telling your story, and she can't wait. She says she can't. Okay, she can't wait until you talk about your dad. But we're going to talk about Laura first, and then we're going to talk about her dad, George. Okay, you want to hang on for the ride? All right. Thank you. All right. But we're going to do the quiet side right now. Okay, honey? Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, so, alrighty then. So, please? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to grab the beak. We're grabbing the beak. Like that stops the noise from coming out, right?
Right.
Okay, so... The reason I wanted everyone to see those pictures was not only because they're just so fabulous, but you do all these things in spite of the things that it did to your body. You found holistic ways to let the body heal itself. Oh, thank you, darling. Yeah, that was smart. Got a smart husband. So,
found holistic ways to let the body heal itself. And as we're going to discuss later, not only did you did it, like, you know, by touch, but then out. Do you want this or not? Okay. But then you did it energetically, you know. Now, I'm an energy healer, and I clear energy, but you did this, like, using your scientific training.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So a little bit of background going back again is my mom used to do acupressure on us when we were young. So if we would get sick, she would use acupressure on us. So she, you know, like we would get sick, she'd hold points on us all the time. So I was kind of introduced to it at a young age. So had that little bit of background on it. When I was competing, you know, it did take a toll on me. You were sore a lot. You took falls. You know, you, like I said, there was a lot of whiplash, injuries, sometimes shoulder, back, you know, knees. And so when I was down, in Florida competing, you know, I would go for acupuncture and massage and chiropractic. You know, those were the things I knew of back then. And then as it got further along, I was always looking for what else is there to help me. So I did have 2 ACL surgeries.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so I've had ACL surgery on both knees. So
what
one
ACL surgery?
Anti-cruciate ligament.
The anterior
cruciate
ligament. Yep.
And it's behind the knee, but the surgery, they go in the top because that's where I had mine too.
Yeah, so they go. Yeah, they go from the front side, like low, and they go in because it's the anterior. Excuse me.
And it goes in where your kneecap is, or
yeah, under the kneecap, basically. Mm-hmm. So the ligament, I fully ruptured my ligament. So a lot of times, you know, people will get a partial tear, but mine was a complete tear. It's fairly common in the industry that I, you know, in the wakeboard industry, there's a lot of people that, you know, walk around with knee braces on and stuff. So, so I had,
he's just scared that he'd be leaving. Stevie, you scared Naima.
So first surgery, it might have been end of 2005, I want to say, somewhere around there, when I had ACL surgery, and it might have even been a little, yeah, right around there probably. And so, you know, I went through the surgery, went through rehab. I was back competing. I was on the water at 5 months, which was pretty impressive. And then, and back competing at 7 months. So that was, you know, it's a journey to get through that and everything. But then after I was finished competing, I was still wakeboarding and I was doing it for fun and, you know, like I would do some exhibitions and do some local stuff, but I wasn't competing anymore. And then I ruptured my other one, which was kind of a bummer. But through this whole process, like I would have, you know, I'd have back pain or shoulder pain or neck pain and knee pain. And so I still wanted to do all the things that I love to do. You know, I was looking at other sports and doing other things, you know, the water skiing and the surfing. And I started golfing and the snowboarding and doing all that. But, you know, it's like I would have pain. So it was kind of my search to find how do I fix myself? How do I make myself feel better without painkillers or going under the knife? Because painkillers were never my thing. I never really wanted to go down that path. So, you know, I was into doing the massage and the chiropractic and stuff like that. I had Ralphing done. And then when I started working, after I stopped competing, I have a 4-year degree in exercise science. So I was like, okay, well, let's give the personal training path a try. So I started applying for jobs. I got hired in Deerfield, Illinois, and my boss at the time that hired me, his name is Ryan Croft, he actually, when I came in there, I was like, you know, I want to become a yoga instructor. I was all about like the stretching, 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 and because I did yoga regularly because I was so tight. I had like I had so much tightness in my body. So if I didn't do it at least once a day, I was miserable. So I had to stretch, you know, like really stretch every day. Well, he's the one that actually introduced me to the muscle activation technique, because we look at the body a little different. Not that stretching is bad or anything like that, but why do we stretch and it keeps tightening back up is what we kind of looked at. And so he was going through, he had had MAT specialists that worked underneath him at a different club. So he had known about this technique, and he actually started going through the program himself. So I got to be his guinea pig. I told him I would stop doing yoga for a while and I would be his guinea pig. And so as he was going through the course, he started working on my body, and it was amazing how I felt after I would get off the table. So the philosophy of the muscle activation technique is that the tightness is there because your body's trying to stabilize and protect because there's a weakness. So there's an underlying weakness. You know, everybody talks about the tightness, but what they don't understand is that there is an underlying weakness. So the body is trying to stabilize the joint. So that's where the tightness comes into play. So if we can identify where the weakness is and get those muscles to fire and communicate with the, because it's really about the communication of that muscle with the brain. Ooh. And if we can reconnect that connection between the muscle and the brain, then the tightness will go away on its own. It'll give you that range of motion back without trying to stretch it out.
Yeah,
which
I'm
will
looking
give you
for my. Lasting. I'm going to pause. I'm looking for my bod real quick because I want people to understand the connection to that and the bod. So keep talking, and I'll go get the bod. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, it's right here behind the computer. Found it. Okay.
No worries.
Got to reconnect my brain.
So I was fascinated by it, and it was night and day difference how I would get off the table. So after probably it was a year of him going through and working on me, I decided I was going to go through the program the following year. I'm like, I really, really enjoy this. I like training people in the gym as well, but this is like, I had pain and discomfort, and I know a lot of people have pain and discomfort. So I was like, this is important. And that was kind of part of my path of like, okay, making myself feel better, but then also being able to help other people with pain and discomfort. So I went through the course. It was a 10-month program, started, you know, I used my body as like to be able to practice on a little bit. You know, it's not really a self technique, but you know, you make shift when you want to work on yourself. You know, so anyway, my body just started feeling so much better. One really cool story is, so I had, at that point I had ACL surgery on my left knee. It had been 5 years since my ACL surgery, and I was going through the course and I'm sitting on the table and the instructor looks at me and he goes, does anybody work on your knee extension? And I said, no, like specifically straightening my knee. Because after the surgery, I had gotten to zero, but they call what women have as hyperextension. You've probably heard that in their knees. So where if you straighten your knee, if you're sitting on the floor and you straighten your knee, my right foot would come about probably a little inch off the floor heel, right? Mm-hmm. But my left one was at zero. But the doctor told me he didn't want me to get that range back, okay? Because he said zero is fine because women have hyperextension. They're more likely to rupture an ACL again. So well, what I found out was if you don't get back to your natural range, I had a lot of pain going up and down stairs with that knee. So went back to the MAT specialist that was, you know, at the club, and I asked him to work on my knee extension. One session, my range motion came back almost even with my other leg.
Wow.
In one session.
Yeah.
So
I want to repeat that. One session.
One session.
I also want to tell you, she's not full of it, because I've done MAT. I did MAT before I met Laura. So
I had I had to work on it. So there were things that I had to work on, but that knee extension was a huge part of the piece of the puzzle. So we look at the body as a whole. So it's like, even if you're having knee pain, you're not just looking at the knee, you're looking at the hip, you're looking at the foot, you're looking at the back, because everything transfers, you know, so it's all connected. So if your back is off and moving in a funky way, it's going to throw off the way your hips are, vice versa. If your feet are out of tune, every step you take, that's transferring all the way up, because you heard of pronation and supination in the feet. Pronation and supination doesn't just happen in the feet. That happens throughout the entire body.
So we have not heard of those terms. Can you tell
us? Can you define?
Yep.
So one is pronation.
So pronation and supination is like, it's what most people refer to pronation as. When people, like, when they over pronate, they think that the arch is like collapsing.
Pronation has to do with the foot. Let's start with that.
That's where most people talk about pronation and supination, is in the feet.
Okay.
So
if it's related to pigeon toed or slew footed, which is the common term.
I wouldn't say necessarily it has. I mean, it can be related, but if you think about people, like they say an overpronator, where they're saying basically your arch is collapsing, so your knees are diving in.
Flat footed.
Me.
Yeah. There you go. Flat footed.
So let's just stick with the second grade term, shall we?
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
When I walk, I'm what they call not me. So is that?
They would probably call you an overpronator. So if your knees are diving in, not me, they would say that you're overpronating. Yes.
We have to take a commercial every half hour.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, people, if you're listening to this, we're going to run a couple of commercials. Please come back. Don't leave us now, because we're going to learn about pronation. New word for me. Okay. And then if you are watching this on YouTube, please subscribe to my channel or like Tucson Essentials on Facebook. I usually never ask. I'm gonna, it's a new year for Yodi. Yodi's gonna ask you to subscribe to her channel. Okay? We're gonna have some good stuff. All right. So, commercial. That's what I'm doing. All right, there we go. Okay.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jodi Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Karina.
Do you think
Karina
I need to bring her down
Thursdays,
here?
Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Friday, Health
okay
and Wellbeing
now.
With Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday,
I don't think she
strategies
is.
With Jana.
Yeah, but thank
Second
you.
Saturday,
if you really feel strongly
Esquire
about it, come on up and I'll
Third
give you a
Saturday,
thumbs up or a thumbs
down. Around
with
Deborah.
Okay.
And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays,
I'll
7 p.m.
You.
To 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press
one
to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Thank you. And one more. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Jodi Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Tucson Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses, and we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Tucson Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
All right, so I'm going to play one other commercial, and I want you all to really listen up on this. This is a new e-commerce site called Quick, and you get paid when you buy something and you like it and you share it, unlike Amazon, you're going to get paid when that other person buys it. So you're getting paid for your referrals. So we're just going to do that last one, and maybe let me see if I can. It's just one of those days. So I've been up since 3 o'clock this morning, so, you know, you get what you get today. I'm just telling you now. Here we go. All right.
Welcome to Quick Click, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend, so she decides to list her products on Quick Click. On Quick Click, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the Quick Click marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique Quick Link that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's Quick Link on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's Quick Link, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own Quick Link and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But Quick Click is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. Quick Click rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new Quick Link makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
All right. Back. So this last commercial about Quick, I'll just say, it's in beta test. If you have products and you want to bring it onto the platform, we are in 80 different countries, 33 different patents, including a patent specifically for the payment system. So like how you get paid, not the merchant processing. So this is really cool. If you have questions, give me a call, which I'll display my number on the screen. But right now, if you have a question for Laura as we go through this, call 515-605-9325. Is that right? Yeah, 9325. Press 1 to speak, and a little hand will go up on my dashboard, and we check that as often as we can. And so if you're calling in now and you're on hold, just press 1 if you have a question for Laura or myself or for Naima. And, okay, so Laura, back to being donation and platform.
Yeah, okay. So really what I was getting at is, so pronation – most people talk about pronation and supination in the feet, okay? So pronation is when the foot, everybody pronates and supinates. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. That's what our body needs to do. Some people will refer to as you're a pronator or you overpronate. So they're saying that your foot drops in too much, like think of where the arch is, that it drops down to the floor too much, and that would cause like your knees to dive in, okay? So what I'm saying is the feet, you have to think about that pronation and supination. It actually goes all the way up through. So as you pronate, your knee dives in, your hip turns out, and it tracks all the way up to your neck, okay? So everything is connected really at the end of the day. So if something's off in your foot, it will affect your knee, it'll affect your hip, it'll affect your back, it'll affect your shoulder. It affects everything up the chain. So that's really, at the end of the day, is what I'm trying to get at. The pronation deal, just know that everything is from the toe all the way up to the top of the head is affected. It affects each other. So when one thing's not moving, so one, for instance, if If you are limited in range of motion anywhere in the body, your body has to find another place to pick that motion up.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, see, that's exactly right. So, you know, most people, because I don't really talk about this, don't know. I was a gymnast for, like 10 years. And so I understand exactly what Laura's, you know, talking about in terms of the compensation. So if your body's not happy with, or can't, you know, if your shoulder's not working, you know, actually, so I have a two torn rotator cuffs. Technically, they've healed through using frankincense, MAT, chiropractic, acupuncture, or healthy foods. But the point is that I really had just one torn rotator cuff and then tore the other one because I was overcompensating. Right, because the other one had to work twice as hard, three times as hard probably, to you know, achieve what I need to achieve at the time. So, like that.
Mm. Well, I have a question, because my chiropractor told me that because I tend to carry a heavy bag on one shoulder, now my spine is crooked, or my, you know, I don't know if it's going to be my hips, but, you know, I'm basically walking crooked. So what happens over time if you've got that situation where you...
So definitely, like, the longer you have a compensation going on, you know, it takes a little longer to fully correct that. Not that you won't see any changes or results in one session. That's the cool thing about MPT, is you will see the change, but it is trying to, you kind of have to reprogram those muscles to fire and connect. So you're basically trying to raise the tolerance of all those muscles. So, it's kind of almost reprogramming them. You know, you're raising what kind of force those muscles can handle. But yeah, like I said, it's all connected. So like, even if it's that shoulder, we'd look at your back, we'd look at your shoulder, we'd look at your hips and see how that was balanced out. You know, so because you got to look at all the pieces of the puzzle, because it's never usually just one thing. And everybody asks, well, what comes first? It's like layers of the onion you're peeling. You know, you got to figure out where the, like, okay, so this is a piece of the puzzle, and then maybe the back is also a piece of the puzzle. And, you know, but it's like, if I'm looking at the shoulder, I'm usually looking at the back and the neck as well. You know, so you got to look at kind of the whole picture.
Because I suffer with lower back pain. Every now and then I'll maybe move furniture or something, it'll totally throw my back out. Back to the chiropractor treatment, but, you know, there's probably something that, I think you said maybe a disc was slightly out of place, so maybe.
Yeah, it's called a subluxation of the disc.
So chiropractic is great too, and it, you know, but what's awesome is that MAT actually works with chiropractic too, because they're adjusting the muscle or the bones back in, and then if the muscles aren't firing, it's going to keep pulling it back out. So if you get that adjustment, and then you come in and you have the MAT done, we can get the muscles to fire to help hold that adjustment. Uh-huh. That makes sense. So it kind of can work hand in hand with chiropractic. I see chiropractic. There's different techniques that I use. So I definitely have had adjustments as well, and along with the MAT. Sometimes the MAT works, sometimes I need the adjustment as well. It depends, I guess, on, you know, like how out the adjustment is and stuff like that. So it works in combination for sure. You know, a lot of people will ask, well, how long, like, it depends on the injury. I always tell people, come see me once a week until we get your, whatever it is, your ailment under control, and then see me for maintenance after that, because you're going to keep using your body. You're going to have things, and why wait until it breaks down again and then you're in pain and then you have to do this cycle all over again? Instead, come see me for maintenance, at least, like, I tell them, you know, every 3 to 6 weeks, depending on what their activity level is and how their body responds. I said, everybody, you're going to know your body the best. You figure out what is the best maintenance schedule for you, you know, and then you come in that regularly to keep that tune up. I have some people that come every 2 weeks. I have some people that come once a month, you know, so I have people that come every week. So it just depends on, you know, like, you know, it depends on their financials. It depends on their body. It depends on their activity level. It depends on a lot of things. So,
how MAT works with the brain, right? Like, because go ahead. I mean, because that's why you and I met, because Andrew, my husband, you were talking to him and about what you do, and you wanted to learn about the BOD. And when I understood really how MAT worked with the brain, that's when we realized how well it would work with the BOD.
Right. So MAT is, so I'm going to get a little sciencey here again. So
okay, we'll stop you if we don't get something.
there are different muscles, or there's different fibers in a, like, you've got your intrafusal and extrafusal muscle fibers, okay? Think of the extrafusal are the ones that move. They're the muscles that, the fibers that move the arm, okay? The intrafusal are the fibers that communicate with the brain.
Intrafusal?
Okay?
Inter what?
Intrafusal.
Intrafusal
fibers of the muscle.
Intrafusal fibers of the muscle that communicate with the brain. Okay.
Correct. Okay. So those are the fibers that we're working with. We're working at reconnecting those fibers so that they're communicating with the brain properly. Because if you're... muscle isn't giving, if you guys aren't communicating, the muscle's not getting the signal, that's where the delay comes in, and that's where then the compensation comes in. Okay, so if you're not getting, if you go to move and you're, that muscle fiber is taking, there's a delay for it to get the signal, then it has to pull something else in to do the work. So we're basically, we're trying to reconnect that signal from the muscle, and it goes into all neurofeedback loops and all this stuff that even sometimes I get a little confused with. but there's like a whole feedback loop that happens between the muscle and the brain. So it's basically that nervous system like communicating, and it happens in a split second. But we're trying to basically eliminate as much of that lack of communication as possible throughout. And getting that signal from the brain, the less compensation your body will have, the more range of motion, the more efficient it will work. So it's also phenomenal for athletes. Like, even if you don't have a major issue, just as people that are high-level athletes, it will keep your muscles firing and to keep you at optimal performance. So that's
I'm going to pipe in here real quick, because if the brain is if there's some sort of interference between the interfusial muscle and the brain, right? Mm-hmm. We then brought in the BOD. Okay, don't chew on the BOD, Fagala. It's sound frequency, you know. And you can wear this while Laura's working on you, okay? And it does a reset on the neural network of the brain. So think about the part that's not firing, because it recognizes, your body recognizes that there's an interference. And the sound frequency, which is based in drumming, we know that drumming heals the brain, puts it in the theta state, and does a reset on the neural network. The number one healing, actually, for 2022 is sound frequency.
So I have a question then, because like, a couple of years ago, my knees stopped working. They wouldn't bend all the way. I don't know what happened. It's just, suddenly they just stopped working. And so they've only been like halfway. And, you know, and I'm doing all these exercises and everything and going through all this pain, trying to, you know, make them bend in the range they used to. So is it possibly a neurological signal that needs to be reestablished as opposed
It definitely could be. Have you gone to a doctor to have them look at it all, or no?
Okay, maybe I'm not exercising enough, right?
And that very well could be. You know, like if you're not feeling enough movement and everything, movement is very important to keep the joints lubricated and everything else. So like if you're not doing enough movement, that can definitely cause some of it. There are other things that can cause restriction as well, whether it's you know, like some people start to get arthritis. There's, you know, some of that could be a nutritional thing that might be able to help and all that. I know, and like, but I'm not saying that it still can't help. It can increase motion for sure. That is definitely a possibility, and that's one thing like I like to look at and analyze. And usually with the MAT, if it's not a structural thing, I will see the range of motion improve fairly quickly. Like, or you'll see some improvement. If it is a structural, like, because like structure can change. You know, you get there's people that get bone spurs or, you know, like bone buildup or whatever. There are structural changes that can happen that can cause limitation. So the MAT really does work with it if it's a muscular limitation. But like I said, you can tell pretty quickly if it's going to help increase that range or not, you know? So,
let me share like a couple stories though about MAT. One with you, one with someone else. Okay. So, my personal health journey, you know, over-medicated, I was misdiagnosed having bipolar and schizophrenia, but it happened after I fell on the ice at work, and I tore my rotator cuff, and no one ever did a MRI or any scan or anything, and so that's how I tore my right rotator cuff, and then overcompensated for the left one, and from that experience also ruined at that time, not completely, because it's my levator scapula. The levator scapula runs, you know, through the head. Underneath the shoulder blade, right, Laura, through the neck?
It's from the top of the shoulder blade up into the side of the neck.
Yeah, side of the neck. Well, the pain went up to the top of the head.
Well, that's your traps and stuff. And usually, like I said, it's usually not, a lot of times it's more than just one muscle. So, like, that was probably a big part of the issue, the levator, but there's probably were a handful of other things that were contributing to that.
Oh, for sure. But what I want to say is that I walked around with that for 20 years. I couldn't use a hair dryer. I didn't blow dry my hair for that time because I wasn't strong enough to lift a hair dryer.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So needless to say, I don't even own one. So we just happened. This is how it wakes up. So here's this, ow, that's hurting me. Okay. So what happened was I used MAT and I used the BOD while that person, that friend of mine, was doing MAT. And I haven't had a pain in my levator scapula, that area, since 2017. We're in 2022.
Ooh.
So now I also want to tell you, going now to Laura, like, Laura's magic is even bigger than that. And that's because, you know, like, so for instance, when I was during the move, Laura came to our house with her table and worked on both me and my husband, Andrew.
Sure.
And, I don't want to say like in seconds, but it feels like in seconds. Because if you're dealing with pain for a long time and you can get rid of it, get the relief, you're getting the release of the muscle, like, you know, after a session, you know, we're talking about an hour, right? And don't get me wrong, sometimes there's discomfort while you're doing it. I screamed at her, punched her a little bit. Just leave the nose alone. She's got a cute nose. So don't hit her nose. So she thinks that's funny. So the point is that, you know, you can get relief and get balance, and then the rest of the body, that's not where it stops, right? Because then the rest of the body can start rejuvenating and healing. That's just the beginning, right? Because if everything's wiring and firing together, could you let go of my glasses, please? So if everything's wiring and firing together, now the rest of the body has the ability do what it does best, which is an innate healing machine. It's a master healing machine. We just have to, my goals are exactly alike, okay? She removes interferences. I remove interferences. She does it one way. She does one part of the body from one angle. I do it from another. I do it with toxins. I do it with energy healing.
And they all play a huge role. So that's the other thing too, is you have to understand, like, it's not, there are multiple pieces of the puzzle. So like, I might be getting through that muscular part, but the nutritional part, if you don't have the nutrients that your body needs, it's not gonna fully heal, you know? So you need that component. You need the emotional component. It all plays a role. You hold on to negative emotions or past events that had happened to you. You hold on to that. That's going to keep coming back on to you.
That's why I'm trying to really look at all the parts of my body that are creating feelings of discomfort and think of all the different ways that you just said about healing, you know, because you get the conventional thought where people say, oh, just, you know, take some aspirin and the pain will go away. But I don't want to do that. I'm not going to medicate the pain away for a few hours and have to take some more pills.
No, because then that just creates more problems down the road.
Yes.
You know, like you keep taking, you know, Aleve or ibuprofen, and what that's doing to your organs is, you know, it's that constant. So when you're on medications constantly, I mean, you can fix anything. Like, nature's put everything out there for us. Like nature has all the remedies that we need. It really does.
And so if you're taking ibuprofen, if you're taking any type of synthetic over-the-counter medication and you want to learn more, call me, call Laura. We have, you know, what the substitutes are in nature. If you're on and that's for over-the-counter medication or that, you know, stop it. Okay. Got her a little tension, a little blue. All right. And she likes that. Okay, whatever. So, you know, if you have a headache, you can use frankincense, or you can use peppermint, or you can use lavender. So if you say, I don't like the smell of lavender, we've got probably 10 different other plants for you. Here you go.
So peppermint, if you were going to use peppermint to get rid of pain, would that be something you would inhale? Or, because I wouldn't think peppermint candy would necessarily have the...
That's an awesome question. So when you inhale an oil, and by the way, you're not getting your oils at the drugstore or any big box store, okay? Because you don't know how it's, most of the time, they're not sourced properly. The plants aren't sourced properly. Or you get the plant, let's say it is a good plant, it's organic, but they use chemicals for chemical extraction. You don't want that either. So call us, because you don't want to go down the path and go, this doesn't work, because it's not that simple. It's actually really simple once you know how, but it's not simple until somebody tells you. And we're not discussing that today on the show, but call us, okay? And if you have a question, call into the show. But the point being is, to answer your question, you apply it topically to the palm of your hand. You rub both your hands together and you inhale. And because it gets into the brain, into the limbic system in 20 seconds, you will get relief. Okay.
Wow.
And it gets into the bloodstream in 30 seconds.
Wow.
30 seconds, wow. People.
That's
and
faster than the drugs.
Absolutely. And your body doesn't actually recognize drugs. They don't recognize synthetics. And so then it gets stored in your fat cells. Okay. Mm. And then it manifests down the road as disease of some sort based upon your genetic disposition, genetic profile. I got a text message yesterday from Tommy Sunho, and who's met him to you, right? So great man. And the text that he said, we're going to go back because I just thought it was a great question. So Andrew and I both studied science-based, and the question that he asked was, does our lifestyle matter more than our hereditary genes, basically?
Mm.
And the answer I said,
I would say so.
Our lifestyle is number one as to whether or not these recessive genes get expressed. That's it.
Yeah.
You can live your entire life, have all the genes for Alzheimer's, the APOE4 gene, and never have Alzheimer's expressed if you're eating based upon you know, what's called science-based nutrition. And it's not that hard to figure out. It sounds mm-hmm. complicated because it's got the word science in it. But trust me, it's so easy.
Yeah. So that's what I was thinking. You can have a trait for something, but if you don't trigger it, then it'll never manifest. And, you know, I know people who had whole families that may have gotten cancer, but then everybody in the family smoked. So the person who doesn't smoke and doesn't raise their children around smoke or have smoking in their environment, they're not going to have that happen to them because they're not doing the thing that triggers it.
Well, exactly. And there was something I was going to mention about that. Oh, yeah. A close friend, family friend, I've known her since I was 11. And she's now of the age where her mom died, you know, of a heart attack. And so she's convinced that this will happen to her. And I explained to her, and I've been explaining to her, you know, that doesn't have to be your outcome, right? First of all, there's mindset. So this is actually a perfect segue, right, Laura, for what we're about to talk about. So there's mindset, and we're going to talk about how the mind is so powerful. We do need to go to commercials, so I'm going to run a couple commercials, but I want to just tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how powerful your mind is, okay? And so we already know about nutrition. So we talked about that a little bit. We touched on it and that genes won't be expressed. And just because you have a history of it doesn't mean that you're going to get it. But Laura and I are going to talk about mindset.
That's and critical.
Well, it got her out of the hospital. It changed his vitals while we were working on him energetically in the hospital.
Wow.
So if you're listening, you know, I know we have some people listening in who's watching. I've got my book going here just so I can see who's watching live. If you have a health condition, Laura and I are going to talk to you about mindset and how you can actually shift your entire health condition with mindset.
Change your mind.
Change your mind, change your life.
Ooh, all right.
Okay, so I'm going to run to commercial real quick. I'm going to run. So Naima's on tomorrow. What's your title of your show tomorrow, Naima?
Well, tomorrow we're going to be talking about my co-host and I. We're talking to someone who actually they passed legislation to have a commemoration of his birthday on January 17th, which is Muhammad Ali, the boxer that everyone loved and has seen
love,
the impact of his anti-war stance and his global impact. Even the sport of boxing, but as a humanitarian, and what his life actually meant in terms of changing a mindset about a global condition.
Dance like fly like a butterfly, or dance like, oh, wait.
Float like a butterfly,
float
like a
butterfly,
bee.
Dance like a bee. So he was my father's very, very favorite athlete. There wasn't a time that we didn't watch him. I followed his life. He's amazing. So that's exciting. So I'm going to play your commercial. So tune in tomorrow morning. If you're on Central Time, it's 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock. The rest So, as far as, like, the time.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host, Kareem Hamid, every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show, as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And then for those of you, it's not till next Monday, but we have Zelda. Zelda Speaks, her Monday show.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
Jody Susan of Susan Essentials is certified by the number one functional medicine doctor on plant-based healing essential oils, which are revolutionizing the way we manage our well-being. Schedule today to take control of your health.
Trying to see some of that food you had up there.
What's that?
I was looking at some of that food you had laid out there on the table.
Well, let's see what we got here. So we got
Susan Essentials is re-engineering what health looks like by leading you to the best wellness initiatives in the world. Start your coaching plan today and create a new paradigm of health. Click here to learn more.
So it's interesting. So I have a longer commercial. It's probably 60 seconds. And because all those foods are on the table, it wasn't intentional. We were filming, and the idea was to kind of give people, to give people an idea about what all these healthy foods look like, some of the brands.
Yeah.
Wasn't even thinking marketing. I wanted to add value. That thing went viral.
Yes.
I had like 10,000 views.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, thank you. And it's because it's really simple. It's because somebody caught it and saw that all the other, labels were there,
So. Oh, yeah. So that there being, make sure we create some ways to benefit from that, but those are really some great pieces, though, and I think that people, when they start to think in terms of food as medicine, then you realize everything you eat, it becomes who you are. I mean, you are what you eat. So if you are putting things that have good vibrations, grown the right way and, high vibrating foods, then that does help heal your body. And if you're eating garbage, you're going to feel it. Your body can't.
Yeah, people don't even know that they're eating garbage, though. Do you like pancakes?
Yeah, I bet you're going to tell me it's terrible.
No, hold on. Laura, do you like pancakes?
I'm more of a waffle person.
Fair enough.
Well, that's just more or less the difference in shape. Nothing's the same thing.
Right? I feel like they're lighter. They're a little fluffier.
I love them both. I'm just not good at making waffles. So here's what I'm going to say. Over the history of time, pancakes, waffles, they've been made with wheat, right? And wheat has been adulterated, meaning, it's got glyphosate sprayed all over it. So it's pulling all the minerals out of your body, making you feel fatigued.
Oh, that's why I get so tired and I have a big stack of pancakes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
However, I make the most amazing pancakes on the planet with cassava flour, which is tapioca starch.
Wow.
And I can make them really thin crepes, or I can make them big and fluffy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And so my point is that, and so I'm actually going to do a plug for myself for just a quick moment.
Mm-hmm.
I teach food as medicine, but I also, I'm not just giving you the science. I'm also telling you how easy it is to convert your current recipes just by some little tweaks, right? so that you can be eating healthy, still have the taste and the delish that you like, right? The
wow.
They're like, oh, my God. I mean, you should see the meals we make here. They are so healthy. It's
hey,
so healthy,
you know, everything
delicious.
Is sold on the Internet. You can figure out how to package it up and ship it. I'll order something and ship it on over here.
I am so not doing it, Dolly, but I will give you the recipe. I will give you the recipe. So my blog on Tucson Essentials has a lot of my recipes. So, but let's move to mindset. Laura, share about your dad. Talk about what happened. And it's 9:10, so we have to go to commercial at 9:30. And I want, because I really want to make sure that we get this story out because it's so critical. So I'm going to manage our time. Okay.
Yep.
So go ahead.
So my dad was in the ICU for 17 days. So he was, you know, having breathing issues and everything else, and it was severe. It was very severe. It was a lot of up and down. I had faith he was going to make it through, but it was a very rough road. Okay. There were a lot of things. There's a lot of things that played into it, including my sister and I smuggling nutrients and vitamins and nutrients into his food.
His banana cakes. I was teaching Laura about dumping nutrients into whatever it is that you got. And so what we do, we put in mushrooms. We ended up
into the mushroom powder into banana bread. So it made banana bread, but we are also getting him. After the banana bread was baked, I was dripping vitamin D onto the banana bread. So we were getting him like 50,000 IU of vitamin D a day, which he didn't know. Hopefully nobody comes out my doors and rushing, but
he's healthy. So I mean, no rushing
there.
Yeah.
So we're
Laura, is knocking down our doors for help.
So we had little juice shower taken in that had zinc and quercetin in it. So he was getting zinc and quercetin every day. Despite that, there was also, you know, a big part of it is you have to want to get out of there. You know, that was a big part of it. So in the beginning, we started to see some things getting better. I do some cranial sacral work as well. And cranial sacral therapy works with, you know, the whole nervous system and like the healing of the nervous system. And there's a lot to that. So I, first of all, started doing, I was obviously praying a lot through this whole thing, but I was also trying to direct the energy to him and actually visualizing doing the cranial work on his body. So I was actually, I did like a whole session and I would let him know that hey dad, I worked on you or this and that, you know? So we were able to talk on it. Nobody was able to go in and my sister was able to go in and see him at the window. That was the closest that she could get to him, you know, once a day. But, as he started to improve and everything, and he was able to start moving around and doing more, we also got, we took an infrared light in there. So we had infrared light that my sister took in, and he was doing infrared light therapy on himself. Yeah, so there were a lot of things that he would have that on his chest for like hours of the day, you know, as he was, you know, starting to move. So we just kind of took these initiatives upon us to try to get him out of there and give the added, because, you know, he was on oxygen, he was, you know, on high levels of oxygen. And then as he was slowly converting over, he was getting closer to being out of there. And, let me actually take a step back. Before that, you know, Jody was kind of teaching me how to go into my dad's energy field. And she helped, she did it at one point, but she also taught me how to do it. And like basically speaking to him on an energetic level. And Jody actually spoke to him and basically, you know, she said that he has made the decision that he's going to stick around and he's going to fight. And it was actually shortly after that we had seen him take a turn for the better. Okay. So he started moving in the right direction. So
Let me type in just real quick.
Yeah. Sorry, this is a tough story. It's a very emotional story for me to
It is.
Tell
I'm going to
well.
Let you take a breath so you can, because I understand. I get it. So, and I want to talk what happened to me. So first, I was doing a lot of the energy work on her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I got wiped out. And Laura called me, and she needed help. I said, Laura, I can't, honey. I said, I can't do it anymore. I'm exhausted. And so this was a learning for both Laura and I. And the lesson was to us, you can't want help for someone more.
And they want it for themselves.
They want it for themselves.
Yeah.
And that, because I was wiped out. Because what was happening, I'm going in trying to help, and his energy is pushing me away, right? Pushing me away. He doesn't want this.
So had he been kind of conditioned of the mindset of, oh, well, this must be my, these are my final days. I mean, had
this is my fate. Sort of, actually, yeah. The bigger one was, I think I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. Mm. And so evidenced by the fact that he did permission, Laura, to speak about
yeah.
that. Okay. Evidence. We have George's permission to speak.
I talked to my dad. He said, my dad told me that we have permission because he thinks it's a miracle anyway. So,
he didn't feel lovable. And so my energy's coming in and he's blind. I'm getting right down and I'm exhausted to the tears. And so I'm like, Laura, I can't do it. You know, I can't. And I didn't know why because, you know, like I'm always a student. And so then when I finally was able to get sleep and let my body rejuvenate, I said to Laura, I said, he's got to want this. He's really got to want this. And he's got to want it more than we want it for him. And so then I went in and I started asking him questions. I said, George, do you want to live? He said, yeah. I said, do you know that you have to be responsible for your life when you want to live? We can't do it for you. Okay, he gets it. And there was a series of questions that I asked him energetically for him to understand that he had this. It was his choice in the matter. He can have life. He can have love. He can have health. He just had to want it bad enough to make the changes.
Mm.
And then as this is happening, it shifts. The numbers, the vitals are changing.
Yeah, he definitely shifted. That was probably the first shift that he took. And then as it kind of kept going and he was getting better, he was making improvements, it felt like he hit a wall again and we thought he was going to be getting out soon of ICU. And it was just like, I was driving home and I actually called my dad. And I was like, I'm talking to him, and I just go, all of a sudden, it just like came to him. I'm like, Dad, what are you afraid of? Like, I literally asked him this question. I'm like, what are you afraid of? Because it was like he had kind of hit this wall, and I just got this feeling like he was afraid to be there. And crazy story, I pull into my garage. I'm on the phone with my dad, and I see a text message come in from Jody. And she goes, Laura, go into your dad's energy field and ask him what he's afraid of. Like, I literally get this text message as I'm on the phone with my dad asking him what he's afraid of. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So my dad, the nurses came in and he's like, hey, I got to go. I'll call you back. He hung up, called Judy. I'm not going to believe that text message you sent me. I just on the phone with my dad asking him what he was afraid of. He started laughing. I mean, we can laugh at this point because like, oh my gosh, right? So I'm talking to Jody about it. She's like, it's amazing. And my dad starts calling back and Jody's like, hey, can you merge us in on the call? And I'm like, absolutely. So I answer my dad. I'm like, Dad, hey, Jody wants to talk to you on the phone. I'm going to merge us in. He's like, okay. So Jody gets on and Jody starts talking to my dad. And at this point, like now we are actually having my dad, Jody has my dad do the grounding work and she said, we'll hold energy. And she tells him that he needs to take responsibility. He needs to use his words and ask for help. So she walked him through grounding himself, thinking like as if he's there's roots growing out of his feet, like a tree, and then pulling up into heaven and everything. And she walked me through this, and he did this for himself. Like, he did this for himself, like something that I would never see my dad doing necessarily. That was the turning point. He got out of ICU, I want to say, a day or two later. But that, after that conversation, the rest of the day, my dad kept thanking me.
Wow.
He kept thanking me for that. It really helped him so much. And he said he continued to do that throughout the day. He did it again and again. He kept rooting and grounding and asking for the help, the guidance, the strength to get through, you know, all of that. So that was a huge turning point. I can't even tell you how many times he thanked me that day. So then later that day after I got off, I'm like, there's something missing. So he was having some AFib as well. So there was the oxygen issue, and then he was having some AFib with his heart. And I just, like, it was later in the day, so I didn't talk to him that night. But I'm like, I need to talk to him. My dad would never say, "I love you," to us on the phone. He would say, "Yeah, me too." Like, those were the words he would use. He would never say, "I love you." And so then the next morning, I remember, like, we were talking and trying to see, like, they still had him in ICU. And I talked to him, like, he called me in the morning. I was talking to my sister about that whole thing. And my dad calls, and I was like, I'm like, "Are your ears ringing?" I'm like, "Okay, so," I'm like, "so dad," I'm like, "I need to talk to you about something." I'm like, "Your AFib." I'm like, "We need to affect," like, I go, "You never say I love you to us, not to my mom, not to any of us." I go, "I know it's because you think that people just throw those words around." I said, "Obviously we love you. Everything that we've been doing for you, everything that, you know, through this whole thing, we love you. You love us. We know." I'm like, "You need to," and he's like, "Yeah, well, you know, this and that," and he makes excuses. And then by the end, I'm like, you have to come to grips with this, dad. I'm like, "I think this is part of the AFib that you're having. Like, you have to accept this." So he finally, by the end of that conversation, he got it. He totally understood it. I'm like, "Dad, whatever it is, whatever it goes back to, I don't know if it goes back to your parents. I don't know if it goes back to whatever." But so he accepted, and, like, actually, that was the first time he said, "I love you." And after that, he now says it all the time. So he kind of had a breakthrough there. He got out of the hospital the next day.
Wow.
And not only out of ICU, he came home. So he went from ICU home. It was amazing. He is now just over two, Sunday was 2 weeks out. Yesterday he was walking around the house off of oxygen for the first time, like,
wow,
for most of the day. You know, he's still monitoring, and he would have to put it on every once in a while, but he was, he's exercising. He's doing amazing. He's down at my sister's, in Tennessee now, just kind of recovering because it's an easier house and the weather's better than up in Wisconsin. They'll go down to Florida as well after this, but we couldn't keep him up in Wisconsin just because the weather and trying to get him to doctors and their house was not ideal for that. So we got him. He got out of ICU on Sunday. We got him in the car with an oxygen tank and drove him to Tennessee, to Nashville, Tennessee on Monday. So literally the next day we loaded up the car and got them out of there. So he's doing amazing. Since then, he's still been working on all the rooting and everything. He's told me stories about the amount of awakening, this spiritual, has been a huge spiritual awakening for him. He told me the other day about how when he laid back down after going to the bathroom in the morning, he laid back down and he saw his dad and my two aunts, and Jody, I don't even know if I told you this story, but he saw them. They were surrounded by a light. He actually basically told them that he had a conversation with my grandpa. My dad has all these tools of my grandpa's in the garage. You know, my grandpa was did construction and all of that, and he basically told my grandpa that it was time for him to move on. He said, "Thank you for everything you taught me. I passed it on to my son," because my brother also does construction and building and all of that. And he goes, "But it's time. I need to get rid of all the tools and everything else." So he's, And he said, thank you to him and said, it's time for me to move on, you know, for things. So it's just amazing, like, the things that he and where he's come through this whole thing. And I think the inner strength that it's given him. And that's why he's coming through this.
Let me bring people back, though, to towards the beginning before he was in the hospital. So Laura and I and Laura's mom, Ann, we were all, and her sister Maria, we're all working, you know, around the clock to help him. And, you know, how, let me just back up, how I became an energy healer, because it chose me. Yeah. Right? So I wake up in the second grade and say, oh, I want to grow up and be an energy healer. So, you know, Andrew and I, when we came together, we were being spiritually attacked. We had to figure out how to ward off that. We were being spiritually attacked because both of us are healers. And I think that side knows that we're really here to help humanity, and they're not interested in us doing that, right?
So I have a question. Energetically, then, why words "I love you" create a different energy that is healing to a person who may have been too repressed emotionally to say it?
So let's talk about that, and we'll bring that right back. What's the power behind the words "I love you" and the attach? Okay, we'll get right to that. So what happened was that. I was able with Andrew to ascertain who of his ancestors was energetically attacking him. So then I learned through that, passed that on to Laura and her father and their family, because what happened was George's father was coming in and he wanted George up with him. And I'm like, so he's like, interfering, right? So what do Laura and I do? We remove interferences. And George's father was interfering with his health. And so I taught George.
I also think that was a big part of my dad holding, like, having those ties and not being able to let go as well, you know, like, I think it was a combination for sure. And I do agree with you that, yeah.
And so there's
maybe
lessons.
Maybe he should be with his father instead of still, you know, living out his time here, you know,
right.
Because that happens a lot of times when someone close to you passes on and, you know, your time and energy, which is why a lot of times couples, one will go and then the other one will follow. And so unless you, like you've shown, unless you make the decision, no, I'm going to stay here, it's going down as if, you know, you're ready to transition unless you energetically make the decision that you're going to stay.
And Vieta says, beautiful process of awakening to love. Now fly, first love
first.
Yourself. Totally agree, Vieta. Thank you for that. Yeah. And then, Naima, I want to go to your question about the power between I love you. And I got a download just as I completed the story about George and his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, I believe George learned from your grandfather, his dad, the behavior of not saying, I love you. And your dad has so much love. It's amazing. And so he was repressed.
That's a real common man thing, isn't it?
For those generations, it certainly was. And so
I'll give you a little more story to that. When my dad, actually the day he got out of the hospital, because I didn't know where it went back to, but actually when he had me one-on-one at one point, he told me, he goes, I don't want you to take this personally or anything, but it went back that I had dated for like 7 years. And he said he remembers laying on the couch and thinking, well, I guess those words mean nothing. And it was so interesting. And I told him, I'm like, I'm glad you told me that. And I think that could have been part of it. But there very well could have been, obviously, I think there was stuff that stemmed from Grandpa too, because I think
that's when he learned to reinforce. So it's a yes and. That's where he learned to reinforce the message from Grandpa, from his father. Because it doesn't start with, it never starts with someone you meet out here. It always starts.
Always starts back. And that's where I was at with it too. But I was so glad that he even told me that, because I think that was another thing that, you know, there was issues there. But like the fact that he's even telling me all of this stuff is huge, you know. And I was like, I'm like, thank you for telling me. Like, I'm glad you told me that, you know. And, you know, it's like, he goes, I know that you weren't supposed to be with him and this and that now, but like, it's just, you know, there's emotional baggage that comes along with all of that stuff. You know, it was a tough time in our relationship at one point. That whole breakup with my ex was tough on my whole family, and there was a lot that happened through that. So,
your breakup, not his breakup.
It was my breakup.
But was he attached to that person that you were with? Was that somebody he wanted you to marry and all?
Yeah. Oh. Absolutely.
I want to tell you, I think, so your father's heart was broken.
Yeah. So, and, you know, so that was all part of it. But it's,
yeah,
you know,
I get
I'm
that.
Glad.
I hear that. Your dad's heart was broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. So. Wow.
Yeah, I get that.
So it was amazing though that he, cause he had so much time to think, and he reflected on so much. And I'm so glad that I told him, I'm like, I'm not at all upset about this. I'm glad that you told me. Like, I go, trust me, there was a lot of learning I had through that whole process. You know, we talked about that. And so it's pretty amazing. Like being able to take and learn from all the experiences and learn from, it's amazing how much that stuff can affect your body and hold on to it and create disease and everything else.
Right. And which goes back to mindset, because, well, I'm just going to own this. So I did the 10-year photo, you know, where the before and after. And so the before picture, of course, I was like 234, 235 pounds. And I showed a picture that was just taken maybe 35 days ago, and I looked pretty good. But within that 35 days, I probably gained about 15 pounds.
Oh, wow. More stress?
Yeah. And so what I want to explain to you guys, you know, like I'm not mad, like, that I gained 15 pounds. I'm kind of mad. But, you know... But, you know, I don't usually use this word lightly, actually, ever. I mean, I went through trauma the last, since that picture was taken, I went through trauma. In Naima, you know this, Laura, you know this, all of our belongings basically were hijacked and were being extorted for money to get it back. And, you know, we're working on finding a less extortionist way to get of all of our lifelong belongings back. But
it's emotionally traumatic.
It is traumatizing. And it's, you know, at first you're like, well, okay, I don't really need the cows. I don't need this stuff. It's all replaceable. And yeah, it is replaceable. The stuff that my mom made me, the needlepoint, that's not replaceable.
Right.
But here's also what happened. So forget the cost, forget the couch or whatever pictures or whatever. It's really not it. What was it for me, it goes again back to mindset. I was being powered over by some person who I don't even know, who we handed over all of our stuff to. I was being powered over. It shifted my mindset into depression.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
power over you. Yeah.
And people power over you. And so, and I felt helpless for the first time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to really process. I had to process my mindset, because I always talk about mindset. Well, they gave me a lesson.
Wow, it's a lesson in everything. Well, you know, I got a question. I just got to take the last break. But when we come back from the break, I want to ask about the whole heartbreak situation. How maybe a breakup or something can affect you so badly physically that you can start manifesting physical ailments and even have something like heart disease affect you because energetically you have a broken heart.
That's a great question. Why don't we run a couple of quick commercials and we'll come back to that. That's a great question. This is 9:35. So let's see. I'm going to do a Blog Talk one. So Via Robinson is on Fridays and Sundays. She's your holistic health coach. And Vienna, if you find her commercial here, she is a wealth of information, and I think that she's...
I found it. I can hit it if you want.
Go ahead. Yeah, she's amazing. She's fierce.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
So we have a couple callers. We have 847-220 and 31271. We're going to take 847-220 first, then we're going to take 312-671, and then we're going to come back to Naima's question. So, and I'm cheating here, just so you know. Angie Calhoun, you are on the air.
Good, good. Hey, thanks for having me on the air. I wanted to I've been fascinated with learning more about MAT and actually being a recipient of it with Laura. One was in person where she came to our house and she worked on me on her table, like a massage or a chiropractic table would look like. But that was effective for sure. But what was really shocking to me and amazing was when she did that when I'm living in Georgia and she's living in Illinois. She did it energetically. It was amazing because I had this horrible pain. I had come from the gym. I thought I just lifted one weight too many, but it was really more of a nerve pain, energetic pain, and I couldn't move my neck. It hurt incredibly bad. And Jody said, why don't you just call Laura, see if she can – she's tuning in her – she's getting better at being able to do remote healing. I said, really? I said, okay, I'll try this. So – for sure, I called her up. She worked with me, and at 15 minutes or so, and then the pain was almost entirely gone. Amazing, amazing experience. Laura, can you talk about that a little bit?
So I kind of focus when I do that. I'm looking more from like the cranial sacral side of things, and that working with the nervous system and kind of just directing the energy into that area. It's interesting because when I was working on him, I was getting releases. I could feel the releases happening from
the
shaking
you can feel
energetic.
Yeah, and the energy.
Well, what I would feel is like you can feel like almost like a shaking happening. Like,
yeah.
So like I'll hold that energy around that area. Like I'll visualize that I'm working on that area with the hands, and like it's the you can feel the energy releasing out of the tissue. Like it's almost like a shaking that happens in between. So that was really just fascinating.
That's what I get too. So when I'm clearing someone's energy, I call it an energy burst, but it is a shaky, and then it almost goes right out of my body, indicating it's going out of their body.
Yeah.
Now, is this a form of Reiki or is Reiki a form of energy healing?
I mean, it's all one and the same. You can call it what you want, you know, cranial therapy, energy healing, Reiki. I believe it all works in the same way.
Like, yeah, I do too. And I'm actually getting trained on Reiki just so I can have the verbiage.
You know, you're clearing negative energy. You're letting the fluids move through the body properly. Between energy, cranial works a lot with the nervous system and moving fluid through the body. But at the end of the day, it's all working with the body. It's all intention. A lot of it's intention, you know, as long as that it's that intention to heal, and that's what a lot of it is. It is really fascinating. I mean, there's definitely, you hear of frequency healing. It's like there's machines that do frequency-based healing, and we are machines. We are energy, and we are frequency, right? So if you're sending those frequencies out, yeah, Healy. I mean, that's exactly it. There's so many different things out there that
it's almost endless. How many? This is just, I call this one Healing for Dummies, because you press and go, right? Mm-hmm. The other bot is also Healing for Dummies, quite frankly. There's so many, you know, more sophisticated approaches to frequency healing. But really, it's supposed to be self-care, right? Mm-hmm. We want you to go to Laura when you can't do it on your own. We want you to go to the doctor, like a chiropractor, when you can't do it on your own. But there should be less visits, right? So that you should be able to maintain your body. But we just need to teach you how to do that. You know, that's,
now,
you know, go ahead.
One other question, which I probably have asked this before, but you have the mindset of the traditional medical industry, which is chemically based, you know, what chemicals can we give your body to change the symptoms of your illness? And then there's the energy healing way of thinking, understanding we're all energy. If we can change the energy, we can work with your thought, your intention, and get to the root cause of why your body is physically manifesting energy of your spirit, so to speak. Is there a way that those two can ever come together, or that it's the medical industry can ever understand and begin to teach that the healing starts with the energy body? Well, and in your opinion, how long will it take for the traditional medical industry that is based on finding a chemical to address the chemical change in your body, how long will it take for that industry to catch up to the understanding?
I think it's already happening. I think we're shifting. Yeah, so I want to tell you that when I was started my healing journey in 2013, my doctor was getting out of the industry. Mm-hmm. She decided yoga was more powerful than that medication. She saw what it did to my body. She's an MD.
Mm. My dad is down in Tennessee right now. My sister has a concierge doctor, so he only takes cash. He doesn't take any insurance. He's an MD. Mm. They're doing alternative treatments, like they're doing NAD IV, so it's and they're doing like immune drips, and they're doing ozone therapy.
Wow.
So that's what they're doing on my dad right now to also help him speed up his recovery. He's doing amazing. This is an MD that's going down that path, and there's I found a group of doctors up in Wisconsin that their goal is to, they only take cash as well. That's the problem, is they, when doctors decide to do this path, they can't deal with insurance anymore.
Right. So when you look at Amen Clinic, so they're based out of California, and they have like 10 clinics around the country and growing. Amen Clinic, they are integrative, right? So they're not saying no to a drug. Okay.
Right.
But like they're leaning and have been leaning for a decade, doing the scan, knowing exactly what part of the brain is overperforming and underperforming, and what nutrient will help heal the body, heal that part of the brain. They know the exact specific nutrient for that part of the brain that helps that brain, like the basal ganglia. If it's overactive, you're not so much fun to be around. But vitamin D and GABA, you know, things like that are going to make a huge difference. And so it's been happening. It's been happening for years. It's just slow. That's it's slow.
Well, I think the insurance issue is the thing that is affecting it. So I guess that means the next step is for us to create an insurance company that will honor holistic healing modalities.
I think we may move out of the insurance industry altogether.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That really is the next thing.
Yeah,
I think we're going this is going to be a process, I'd say, over the next 5 to 10 years, but we're going to be moving into energy healing and the pharmaceutical companies will be going away.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Yeah. Well, let's
put that thought out there because I believe that's what needs to happen. We need to focus on healing people, not just...
And it's going to be, doctors are great at emergency medicine, okay? But when it comes to health, when it comes to actually like health care, they're not making people healthier. They're making people sicker.
Yeah, and they're not trained in it. So,
yeah.
And I want to just bring out a really important fact. This is... because I worked for a doctor's office for several years, a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, guys. It costs money to process the insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that doctor who goes cash pay can actually serve Laura, if you're the patient, can serve Laura more effectively, more cost effectively. He doesn't have to charge Laura as much because he doesn't have to pay somebody else to do all the paperwork and submissions and this and that.
Right.
So it's cheaper for everybody all around. Insurance is really another mindset.
Yeah.
Okay, that somebody, it's a way to enable a person to go to someone else, okay, for all their health concerns.
Yeah. Rather than being responsible for their own health maintenance.
It's massive enablement.
Yeah,
Before we, I want to also say this. So I messed up my neck last night or yesterday. And I'm usually pretty good, but we've had some stuff coming out. So I also got in the tub. By the way, I was in the tub when you were working on spirit for my hair, like yeah. See, fine now. I'm really pretty good with my body, but I really just messed it up yesterday. I said, Laura, I hate to ask, you know, can you help me? And you can really feel the releases. And I want to tell you, this is not uncommon what she's doing. It's uncommon that she did it and figured it out so fast like this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She basically took it upon herself to figure this out. So I'm going to tell you that I worked with a doctor in Libertyville, a chiropractor who does a lot of energy work. He was my mentor. And it was in 2018. I don't remember what I called him for, but he was busy. So instead of like me coming in because he was out with his family, all of a sudden, I see my hands are no longer my own, right? And I'm doing like this.
Wow.
Whatever my issue was, we're gone. My stand.
Wow. So that really is the wave of the future, remote healing, and no more insurance, because we can just do it person to person.
Yeah.
Cut out all the middle people that are unnecessarily just healer and patient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think we're definitely seeing that shift. It's going that way for sure.
Yeah, and we have some amazing healers in our community. You know, we really, really do, and they're all healers in their own right. You know, Lindsay Shifley, who was on the show, she's a chef and she understands the healing power of food. We have Karen Kawashima, who. Eventually she will be on the show. She's an amazing energy healer, highly trained, I think, for a couple of decades, right, Laura?
Yeah, I don't even know. She's amazing, though. She's absolutely amazing.
So Laura and I are grateful, and I'll just say Laura's grateful because I know, to be surrounded by amazing healers, amazing people, right? So, and actually, Naima, and you're a healer too because you have amazing wisdom and listening skills, and your wisdom is healing. Like, you know, it's more like on the therapy side, right? I mean, you know, but I suspect once you, I suspect there'll be some changes for you.
Interesting.
I'm not going there right now.
So yeah, we were talking about the heartbreak thing, and can that, could someone?
Oh, and we have two more people asking a question. Do you want to take the caller, or do we want to go to the heartbreak? What do you want to
say? We'll take the caller.
Okay. And before we hang up on Andrew, did you have any other question before we cut your mic?
No, you've only got 10 minutes left, so go ahead and I'll keep listening.
All right, Dolly. Okay, so 312-671, we're bringing you on. And who's calling, and what's your question?
Leon Yashalom. Yes, I'm late from Minister Robert Floyd Trump. Is calling from Chicago, and I would like for Brother Andrew to call me a day later, and I want to know, my question is, did you know that healing equals to 23, just like the female solution equals to 23? And I would like to share in a community forum with you all, and especially Sister Naima Latif, as soon as possible with us doing a community healing process and program in a prosperity way, because it's all connected to God's will only. And I'm a miracle. I've been a miracle for years. My car burned up, Naima, all the way to the ground. And as a result, and things that was in there, I'm grateful for my life, but I had to get out of there with the quickness like Superman in order to, with the help of the Lord, save my life. That happened Friday. So I just wanted to say that, and also for brothers and sisters, to honor the spiritual day of the beloved Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., belated birthday, and also to honor Muhammad Ali's birthday. I mean, yes. So, you know, we're doing that every Sunday from 2:30 to 4:30 at National Black Wall Street, Chicago, 4655 South Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. And I would like for all of you all to be my special superstar guest, because the female solution is 23, healing is a 23. And we must heal ourselves and help to heal each other, because I am my brother's keeper and my sister's keeper. Help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing in Chicago, America, and the world. And Trump, peace, love, unity, marketing, people. And thank you. I'd just like for you all to consider, you know, education is a key to success. Malcolm X said, education is the passport or the future. So I got a picture featuring Chicago, where our Chicago dream is, and Dr. King on it, Mayor Harold Washington, and Coretta Scott King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Dr. King and Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X and Dr. King. And I like to, you know, share the information, especially in music. That's what I do. And I thank the Lord that I'm still a miracle, still standing, because I believe in God's will only.
Amen. Amen.
For more information, people can go to the HaleWashingtonFoundation.net or call me direct at 312-671-2773. God bless you, the Female Solution. Keep up the good work, and I hope you all become a part of King 23. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Naima. Naima.